hearts and stir us again today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Hey! Yes, it is me behind the mask. Hey. So this morning I'm just going to chat about the shepherds. And it's a famous story. In fact, I think it's the first reading I ever did at one of these nativities when I was young, was to do this reading from Luke chapter 2. Such a great story. I'm going to read it to us and then just a few thoughts this morning. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told. It's one of the great Christmas stories, isn't it? And it's surprising at first glance to think that twice as many verses are spent on this story about the shepherds as are on the birth narrative itself. But that's because this wonderful story actually sums up the wonder of what Christmas is all about. It tells us why Jesus came and about his amazing love for each one of us. These days, birth announcements, or reveal parties, as they're called, they're really quite popular. You know, people gather their friends around them and they pop balloons to say if it's a boy or a girl, and pink confetti or blue confetti come out. You know, they've become a big thing in society today. Now, there's no social media, obviously, 2,000 years ago when this was happening. But, you know, even on Facebook and social media today, you know, you get people doing what we used to do on cards. When we used to write letters. Do you remember that, Jeff? Those were the days. It's a boy. It's a girl. How did God, though, choose to actually announce the birth of his son? Well, you might have expected the angel to turn up at the temple. That would have been the obvious place. The temple, which was dedicated to God. It was the place where people met God and encountered God and worshipped God. Maybe to the big religious leaders of the day. But God chooses to go to the back end of the beyond, to a bunch of shepherds. Now look, I know a number of shepherds because I come from North Yorkshire, the famous county where there are more sheep than people. And shepherding's very different today where we come. It's quite a posh and quite an intricate sort of profession that people respect. In those days, actually, shepherds had a bit of a reputation. Firstly, their work meant that they didn't keep the laws, the religious laws, like a lot of other people in society. So they were looked down on by Pharisees and religious people as a bit unclean. They worked with animals, which was dirty work. They weren't considered to be particularly, you know, sort of like people to hang around with. Even worse than that, they actually had a reputation in society of being untrustworthy and unreliable. There was a saying in Israel at that time that it was only a shepherd's tale. You know, they told stories. You know, they elaborated the truth like a lot of evangelists do. You know, they basically made up tales about things that happened. Sorry, I didn't mean that. I did actually. You know, they made up tales. It's only a shepherd's tale. They actually weren't allowed, would you believe, to be witnesses in courts of law, because people were slightly worried about whether they would tell the truth, whether you could trust them. And who does God choose to announce his birth to? People right on the margins, right on the edge, people who are excluded, people who are looked down on, people who actually were not considered to be, you know, reliable or trustworthy people. What does that tell me? It tells me that when we read in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, he meant what he said. God didn't come just for a religious elite, for a group of people who got their act together. In fact, God is saying to the world, in announcing the birth of his son to shepherds, you're all included in this message. You're all included in this good news. This is for everyone. He's come for us all. Now, that is truly good news for us. So it doesn't matter what anyone else might think about us, what anyone else might say about us. What matters is that Jesus came for you and for me. Now, the shepherds lived out in the fields with their flocks. And obviously, when we think of fields these days, we think of hedgerows and we think of fences and we think of dry stone walls in North Yorkshire. But obviously, that wasn't the case in these days. The shepherds would go out to find pasture in open land, as it were, during the daytime and water. And then at night, they would gather the sheep into safe enclosures where they could keep them safe from predators. They would light their campfires, they'd sit around and they'd tell their tall stories. And there they all are, you know, having their cup of tea, because they were North Yorkshire lads, you know, at night. And basically talking about the day and talking about what's happening, because this is the night shift we read from what Luke tells us. And suddenly we read that this angel of the Lord appeared to them, one angel to start with. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. One translation of the Bible says, the splendor of the Lord blazed around them. And it is as if, in this story, God is saying that heaven has come down to earth. God's glory has come to humanity. To undeserving humanity. To sinful humanity. To failed humanity. To those on the edge of humanity. God's glory blazes around these people. And, you know, we know in Jesus, this is the great story. God becomes man. Heaven has broken down to earth. God has made a real connection between heaven and earth in Jesus Christ. And the angel and the glory of God coming is a sort of like a sign of what God is actually doing on earth at this time. Now, their response is human enough. Makes me think this is a real true story, not that I would ever think it wasn't. They were not saying, praise the Lord, isn't this a wonderful sight and glory and fallen lives and praising God. They're absolutely scared stiff. They're petrified. But I thought about this and thought, you know, if the presence of God came in this room today like that, we might say, oh, Lord, come. We sing it, please come, Lord. Come, Lord, come among us. But Isaiah, when encountering the presence of God, knew something of a sense of fear at the being the holy presence of an almighty God. And these are ordinary people. They're not religious people. And I think that when we're in the presence of God, you'll know those times in worship in our churches, you know, where we feel the presence of God. There are times when we feel a little bit uncomfortable because we feel a little bit unclean or a little bit as though we're not the person we should be or not doing the things we should do. And I'm sure these guys were just absolutely the same. Oh, my word. We're done for. This is it. The presence of God can make us very, very sure of our shortcomings. But of course, the angel says those words that you'll read time and time again in these nativity stories. He says, don't be afraid. God hasn't come to earth to frighten us. He's come to speak to us. He's come to change us. He's come to tell us some good news. And then they get this remarkable birth announcement, the reveal party, as it were. You know, it's not popping a balloon in this case. This is actually a marvelous message. First, he says, look, don't be afraid. This is really good news. It's a good message. God is wanting to give you something good. And it's a celebration. It's a message of great joy. I'm reminded of a story Jesus told in Luke chapter 15, same gospel, a bit later on, about a shepherd who leaves 99 sheep. There's another little link with this story a bit later on in this passage, and actually goes out searching for one lost sheep. And when he finds what was lost, you read about this great celebration, don't you? This marvelous celebration of joy. That which is lost has been found. And this good news is that actually the lostness, and so many people are lost in this world. They're just lost. They don't know what to do. They don't know what to do with Omicron and what to do with this, that, and the other. What to do with life in our society. Where do we go next with all this? Jesus comes to find us where we are, how we are, whatever condition we're in. And here we get this great story of celebration. It's a story of great joy. And it's for all the people. It's for everyone, not just the chosen few. That's basically why I've come to you, shepherds, and not stood in the temple. You know, it's for all of us. It's for all this society. You know, it's for everyone you can think of, everyone you know. The people you might think, I don't want to spend much time with them. The people you might think, oh gosh, they're a bit dodgy on this estate. You know, whatever. This is a message for everyone. And what's the great news about it? Is it's a saving message. It's a message of a Savior coming. The Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, the Anointed One, the one that Israel had longed for, who would save them and save the nation and rescue them. This was the message. It was a message of deliverance and salvation and hope. So here we are. We're still left with this conundrum. God choosing to announce the birth of his son, who's going to be the savior of the whole of mankind, to a few shepherds in the middle of nowhere. Well, it's not actually in the middle of nowhere, because it's just outside Bethlehem. It has to be, because they've got to get down to Bethlehem that night. But the thing is also, and this is what I want us to think about this morning, it's not just a message for everyone in a general sense. You know, we talk about things and they sing it all the time in our nativity stuff, plays in schools and in services, you know, Savior of the world, Savior of the world, Savior of the world. And this general sense doesn't seem to apply to my heart, my life, my circumstances. And yet, as well as being the Savior of all, the angel says, to you, to you, to you, to you, to me, is born this Savior. It's a personal message. A Savior has been born to you. He's your personal Savior. I was brought up to go to church. I've been to lots of nativity services. I knew this story really well. But I didn't know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. I didn't. And until I came to a place, a church on a farm with lots of sheep around, would you believe, in North Yorkshire. And I heard a message that it was about how I was going to respond to this message. To you, a Savior's been born. And that night I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, people watching at home, this Savior is for you. What are you going to do with this message? Because there was a challenge in this message too. You will find this baby. The inference is, if you go looking for him, if you go seeking him, you're going to find him. You'll find him, but you won't find him just, you know, he's not going to be just turn up around the campfire where you're all here. You're going to have to go looking. You're going to have to go seeking. You'll find him in this manger. And then suddenly this first Christmas carol, blazes the atmosphere as a celebration of heaven's choir breaks onto earth. You know, it's almost like this glimpse of heaven coming down to earth is getting bigger and bigger and wider, almost like the curtains are going back from heaven and they're seeing a glimpse of heaven. Because the heavenly host we hear about in Revelation is the choir around the throne of God itself. And suddenly they've come down to earth. The throne of God, the presence of God, the rule of God, the reign of God has come among them. And they're singing a song that they sing up in heaven about the glory and the wonder and the majesty of God. But suddenly they're bringing it down to earth as well. It's peace to us. It's goodwill to us. It's God's favor coming down to us. Heaven has broken into earth. This is good news. This is a glimpse of heaven. This is a glimpse of our future. This is the glimpse of the reality of eternity for each one of us. Now, the shepherd's response, despite this initial fear, was that they were now lost in some sort of wonder and curiosity and interest and desire. We need to respond to this message. We need to do something. They say literally, come on, let's go. And there's a sense of urgency about those words. Let's check this out for ourselves. Let's find out if this is true. We're not going to wait till tomorrow. We're not going to put this off till the morning. We're going now. And as with this shepherd in Luke 15, who's looking for a lost sheep, leaving 99 on a hillside, we read, Jesus said, they're leaving their flocks that they've been watching over by night. The Bible's made it pretty clear. Their job is to guard the flocks. Suddenly, they've got a different priority. This is irrelevant in comparison to we must go and find out, whether this story is true. We don't go into this in the Bible. This is night. This is Bethlehem. Most good people would be in bed at night. There wouldn't be all night raves going on, they would be in bed. And suddenly, these people are being asked to look for a baby in a manger. I just want to say to you, there were lots of mangers in Bethlehem. And actually, whatever you want to make of this, there would be a lot of searching, there would be a lot of inquiring as these people are knocking around, saying, is there a baby here? Is there a baby there? There's no star to guide them, remember? There's no star appearing over where the baby is. They're just told, go and search, go and find for yourself. And they search for Jesus. They sought him. If you want to know the truth that can set you free, if you want to know the truth of this Christmas story, that a Savior has been born for you, you better go seeking that truth. You better go searching for yourself. Is it true? They took time to check it out, and they found what they were looking for. The next thing they did was they told others the good news, what they'd witnessed, what they discovered for themselves. They went around and shared it with others. For us as Christians, there is a response for us too. The first witnesses of the Messiah are the shepherds. They're going round telling other people what they've discovered that night. They're sharing their faith. They're sharing their witness that the Savior has come. And, that's a wonderful thing. And then the final thing is, they started the night telling their stories around the campfire. They're ending the night worshipping and praising God. Now, I can imagine them singing the songs, some of the songs that the angels sang. Can you imagine it, Let's pick up that song ourselves, Glory to God in the Highest. Let's pick it up ourselves. Be humming it, it'd be like an earworm. They wouldn't be able to get it. We're going to, glory to God, glory. It's just, it just was really, really important. They worshipped. They sought the Lord and they found him for themselves. They shared what they'd found with other people and they worshipped God. The shepherd's story reminds us that God has come for all, and that's a good news story. He's not just come for some religious group. He's not just come for some special people. He's not come for holy people or good people. He's come for everyone. It's good news. It tells us that this message not only is for the world, but it's for me. It's for you. It's for everyone as an individual to actually respond, to find Jesus as our personal Lord and our Savior. And it's a news that we need to keep sharing with other people. It's not to be kept to ourselves. It's not a private religion. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And we end this morning as those shepherds did, in worship of the great King who has come, as heaven has opened its curtains and the glory of God has come to earth. And the presence of God is among us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus, who is Lord and Savior, lives and reigns and rules among us. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Christmas.